Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The European Union, the vote, the swing toward the right, says the European Union newspapers. That would be the London Financial Times, the London Telegraph, the Times of London, the Paris reporting, the Berlin reporting, swing toward the right. Not exactly. However, I welcome Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's in London watching the European Union day after, day after, day after. And also observing a meeting that's happening over the next 2 days in the United States, his most recent column addressed the Federal Reserve. So we'll begin there, and then we'll rush to Brussels and ask what changes are coming in our European allies. Joe, a very good evening to you. Your new column for the Journal points to a responsibility that the Federal Reserve could take up, or the Treasury could take up, which is the price of the dollar compared to its colleagues in, let's say, South Korea or Japan or the rest of the world, the currency exchanges. What can the Federal Reserve do to help us understand the dollar, which is very strong right now, and our trading partners who are very weak? Good evening to you, Joe.
Hey, John. So I think the key point here is that, as you pointed out, the Federal Open Market Committee is meeting this week for another of their regular sessions to set U.S. monetary policy. They are expected to keep interest rates where they are at a relatively high level compared to the past 15 years because inflation in the U.S. is not whipped. But a consequence of this is that other countries, other economies are drifting further and further out of sync with the Fed. Last week, the European Central Bank cut interest rates for the euro. The Bank of England in the UK is expected to do that soon. The Bank of Japan is way behind the Fed in terms of fighting inflation. And this, I think, is going to create a new risk for the global economy, especially in the second half of this year in currency markets. We've already seen in Asia that these big differences between relatively high U.S. interest rates and relatively low interest rates in Japan and some other places has caused the dollar to strengthen relative to currencies like the Japanese yen, the Korean won, the Malaysian ringgit. Those currencies then, of course, end up weakening. And perhaps that trend reverses a little bit. Perhaps it doesn't. I think the next thing to watch is going to be the exchange rate between the dollar and the euro, which has been described as the most important price in the world because of the quantity of trade and investment that turns on those two currencies. And yeah, the main point is that this is something that bears watching because instability in these foreign exchange markets can bubble into the Main Street economy in all sorts of ways. It makes it so difficult for businesses around the world to know where and how to invest. It makes it difficult for them to manage trade financing. They have to spend more and more money on hedging currency risks instead of having that money available for investment. So I think that what I'm doing now is just making a plea for officials around the world to be mindful of this danger. And although it's unlikely, it wouldn't be so far amiss if you started to see more of an effort to control some of these exchange rate swings, especially by, you know, picking up the phone every once and having Jerome Powell and his counterparts talking to each other, trying to coordinate a little bit to avoid some of these big interest rate differentials from opening up and destabilizing foreign exchange markets.
Rushing to Brussels, the European Union vote, 720 seats in the European Parliament meeting in Brussels and sometimes in Strasbourg. A majority rules and the center held. However, the center majority is smaller than it was before, so much so that they're gravely concerned is the center, which includes center-right, socialists, liberals. They're concerned about the rise of what are called the far-right parties in the 27 members of the European Union. Alternative for Deutschland in Germany, National Rally in France, Vox in Spain, and on. All the countries are represented in some fashion by voices stressing issues that are sympathetic to each other, generally understood as nationalism. However, in the next days, there's going to be European Commission chosen. Ms. von der Leyen is now the president, and she might be reelected or re-chosen. We don't know at this point. There are going to be a lot of new voices in Brussels. However, we're going to start with major rumors. First, Joe's thoughts about this vote, and then the major rumor has to do with France. I read the Bloomberg report just to excite all of us. Macron pushes back on resignation talk as French bonds slide. In other words, Paris is panicking. Joe, what is your measure of the overall vote in this? These headlines suggesting that Europe is going far right?
Well, so first off, to remind listeners, what we were voting for is the European Parliament. As you pointed out, 720 seats. This is the main legislative body at the European Union level. And the big story, as has been covered over the recent days, is the swing toward the right. But that has taken a couple of different forms depending on the country. So part of it is gains for the center-right. The family of mainstream center-right political parties in each of the countries, that formed together in what's called the European People's Party in Brussels, they gained some seats in this parliament compared to the last one. So this was a good night for the center-right. But it was also a good night for a bunch of these insurgent or protest parties a bit further to the right. It was a very good night for Marine Le Pen's national rally in France, and that is completely scattering national politics in France now. It was a good night for Giorgia Meloni's Brothers of Italy party in that country. She's the prime minister already, and now she's in the catbird seat in European politics because her party has performed very well. And, you know, this was a trend that you saw repeated across the continent. And so I think that the message is that voters are fed up with the fact that the European Union has been struggling to deal with a variety of issues that matter to voters. We can talk about what some of those are. Immigration tops the list. People are fed up with the Brussels prioritizing net zero climate policies, no matter how expensive they are. And voters took this opportunity to try to send a message, and they have.
Yes, let's start with migration. I'm familiar with it mostly because crossing from Tunisia into Italy is relatively easy compared to the English Channel. And one island in particular in the Sicilian chain, Lampedusa, has been overwhelmed with thousands coming from Tunisia all over the Sahel, the shores of Africa. The recent reporting is that it's been stemmed some. Italy's come up with a plan, I don't know if it's in action yet, to take the immigrants, move them to Albania while they wait to see if their sanctuary plea is approved. Now, that's one version of one part of the European Union. The complaint by Giorgia Meloni, and you're correct to say she's very powerful at home, she's very popular in being successful, is that she's been honest with the Italian people. I thought when I was campaigning, this was going to be easy. Immigration is extremely challenging, and it'll take more time, she told the Italian people. What Italy doesn't like is that it requires cooperation by all 27 states. We could go through the other major states that are complaining. And to my understanding, Joe, that has not been addressed by the European Commission adequately. Do you agree?
Yes. I mean, immigration is a microcosm of all of the problems with the European Union and all of the things about the EU that really, really annoy ordinary European citizens. Because in theory, it should be possible for the European Union to deal with this. You have enormous scale and resources of the 27 member states who are members of the EU. And, one of the purposes is to enforce an external border between the EU and the rest of the world. And yet they can't do it. And earlier this year, they highlighted how much the EU struggles to do it when they tried to pass measures that would solve this problem. And yet, so far, the approach that they've come up with is all of this institutional pettifogging about who's going to send money to Italy and Greece to help them deal with all of the migrants who are coming in, and how many months an asylum seeker can live in a particular member state before they're allowed to work, and under what specific circumstances you might be able to do something like this Italian program to try to ship people to Albania and process asylum claims there. And what Europeans want is for illegal immigrants to be deported. They want some evidence that there is a muscular approach to enforcing the EU's own laws on migration issues and dealing with some of the fiscal drain that the migration inflow creates, the humanitarian crisis in the Mediterranean that this inflow creates, and the general lawlessness that comes when you can't enforce your borders. And so I think that the challenge now is that voters have sent a very strong signal that they want to get the situation under control. And we're going to see if the EU is institutionally capable of delivering on that.
Greens in the coalition in Germany. However, the Greens were beaten up badly in this recent vote. You've already mentioned how people are impatient with the idea of net zero is more important than the growing the economy. Let's focus entirely on Germany here. Alternative for Deutschland is against green technology, is against spending money on net zero, and is sympathetic to the needs to reestablish something like Ostpolitik. But the Greens, are they now seen as the past, Joe, not the future? Do they become a party of negotiation too quickly and give up on their theme?
I think that the collapse of green parties across Europe, and especially in Germany in this election, is one of the big stories that's going on here. And it is a function of two interweaving trends. So the first of these is that voters have decided that they just don't care about climate issues anymore. If you look at opinion polling, particularly in Germany, when people were asked about the most important issues that they think their country or the European Union is facing right now, climate is now way, way down the list, which is a big change from the previous European Parliament election in 2019. People now are much more concerned about security issues, especially regarding the war in Ukraine. Immigration is much higher on the list of priorities and concerns now. So the Green parties were hit, first of all, by the fact that voters just don't care about the issue that is the core of the Green identity now. And on top of that, voters also have decided that they do not like paying for the policies that Green parties support. So, I mean, remember in months past, John, you and I have talked about all of these farmers' protests across Europe against various climate policies. And it turns out that voters are on the side of the farmers. I mean, that's one conclusion here. Voters showed again and again this weekend that they are not interested in supporting parties that are going to make them pay, that are going to make them pay to redo their home heating, that are going to make them give up their internal combustion cars, that are going to make them pay more for energy. So I think that this is the other, not only do people not care about climate, but they do care quite a lot that they are being expected to pay more and more for climate policy.
Speaking with Joseph Sternberg, he's a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes political economics. He's in London. And UK is out of the European Union, but there's a big vote coming. There's a vote in France on the 30th, first round, on the 7th, the second round, for the parliament, snap election called by Mr. Macron. And the election called, not, I guess we call it snap election, and the UK is on July 4th. So we're headed to the UK, where politicians are competing with making mistakes. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.